This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. On Friday, Idaho lost a true icon. Dr. David Lacciondo died after fighting an illness. He had recently been awarded the Idaho Humanity Council's highest honor, Outstanding Achievement in the Humanities Award. Dr. Lacciondo was a promoter of all things Basque as a teacher, a scholar, and a cultural mentor. He was the former director of the Basque Studies program at Boise State University, but before that, he spent 41 years in secondary education here in Idaho, serving as a teacher, a counselor, and an administrator in both public and private schools. On top of all of that, he was also a scholar of the Spanish Civil War. His resume, as you can tell, it was long and it was distinguished. But I must say, in full disclosure, a little bit hard to get through this right now. I was privileged to meet Dave just a few years ago. Whew, excuse me for this. You gotta love when things are live. Let me start over. I was privileged to meet Dave a few years ago when his youngest grandson and my son ended up in the same kindergarten class. And Dave and I would see each other on the playground at pickup because he would pick his grandsons up after school. And we would chat sometimes about this show. He quite enjoyed it. But most times we talked about those two grandsons. We talked about his daughters and his wife because that was who and what he was most proud of. I also got a chance to see him play the accordion as such a proud Basque man and teaching those kindergarten kids about it. So to honor Dr. Lacciondo, we are playing back my interview with him from 14 months ago about the Basque legacy here in Idaho. Some U.S. cities have become practically synonymous with ethnic and religious groups who have settled there. Think of the Irish Americans of Boston's Southie neighborhood or the Cuban Americans in Miami. Fewer people actually know that one of the world's largest and most involved Basque communities is in Boise. Now, there are larger populations of Basque Americans in the U.S., but Boise's Basque population is the most concentrated. Even though you may have spent time on Boise's famous Basque block, a lot of people often have more questions than answers when it comes to this underrepresented community. So today, we wanted to ask one of the most active members of Idaho's Basque community, Dave Lacciondo, some questions about this, and he is joining us live in studio. Dave, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Gemma.
So, Dave, your dad came to Idaho. He was 16 years old, didn't speak the language. A lot of people assume that, well, people moved here from the Basque country because they were sheep herders and we needed sheep herders. That is not necessarily the case.
No, there is no Basque sheep herding gene that makes them particularly good at herding sheep. The country they came from is more predominantly seacoast and mountain, and there's no large tracts of land where you could graze thousands of sheep. At the time of the turn of the century, there were 3 million sheep in Idaho, and they needed someone to watch over them.
Wow.
Now, how that process began was probably, it started in California, moved up through Nevada, through Jordan Valley, Oregon, and into the valley. Sheep herding requires a lot of space, open range, mm-hmm. and you needed someone to look over them. So that became the entry-level position for Basque young men. And they came over, and I don't know exactly how it started. John Beter, my colleague, says it probably started with somebody saying, I have a cousin who could do this, mm-hmm. or I have a good friend. The original population of Boise probably came within 10-kilometer radius of the city of Guernica in the Basque country.
And from there, then, as you said, like with your dad, then you would almost, you would write letters to family members, to friends, saying there's job opportunity here. Was that also, was there not opportunity going on in the Basque country at that time? And I do know with the reign of Franco, that plays a big part in people wanting to get out of that area.
Yeah, I think that came later. I think it came in the 30s. The first big wave of immigration from the Basque country to the United States came at the turn of the 20th century. My mother's father came in that first wave. And economics obviously were very hard. Most Basques live on a small farmstead of about 25 acres. And only one of the children would be able to inherit that small plot. So where are the others going to go? They're going to go to the seminary.
Right.
They're going to be, if they're a girl, they get married off to somebody else, or they go to the convent. And then some of them would become apprentices in the bigger cities. Mm. And then there's immigration. And immigration for Basques meant herding sheep.
So from there, when with the Basque community in Idaho, and as I said, there are larger Basque populations in other parts of the U.S., but the Basque population in Idaho, in particular in Boise, it is so incredibly active. What is it, do you think, about your Basque community that has just, there is such a pride of your culture? Where does that stem from?
Well, that's a really interesting question, one that I've given a lot of thought to. Just like the Basque immigrant, that first generation can't think a whole lot more about other than survival.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The second generation wants to become an American. They go to American high schools. They go to American dances. And then it's that third generation sometimes that wants to know, there's an old saying, is that the grandchildren choose to remember what the father chooses to forget.
Mm.
And I think in Boise, that evolution occurred just the same way with the community. That first generation herding sheep, living in boarding houses. Second generation becoming Americanized. Many of them go into the service and come out. And if you look at the evolution of the Boise Basque community, I think there are certain watershed moments. We just celebrated the 60th anniversary, 60th or 70th, I'm not sure, of the Song of the Basque. The Boise Basque community was asked by Boise Music Week to put on a performance at the Boise High School Auditorium in 1949 to celebrate their culture. That was important for a lot of reasons, but I think it said to the Basques of Boise that we recognize you, we welcome you into this community, and it was a celebration of things Basque. Subsequent to that, you had the building of the Basque Center on 6th and Grove, then you had Basque dancing classes, and then you had the Oncati Basque dancers, and then you have the Basque choir. You have a whole series of things, but it all kind of started between two things, Boise Basque being here and Boise wanting them to be recognized. Mm. So I think it was a beautiful marriage.
I'm speaking with Dave Lacciando. He is an active member of Idaho's Basque community, just talking about the Basque culture within Idaho. You know, Dave, one of the things that I have found very fascinating, too, is that when we look at the Basque region and how within, when you look at the Basque region within, you know, the area of Spain versus the area of France, it has really become, even in the Basque country in Spain, how your culture has preserved, whereas in France, not so much. Does that go back to the reign of Francisco Franco when he wanted to eliminate all different types of languages? He was the one that called on the bombing of Guernica. Does that play a part, too, in not just the Basque region, but for your own Basque community here in Idaho?
Well, that's a very interesting and a very complex question. There's no question that Franco, General Franco, as a dictator of Spain for 30-plus years, tried to suppress all elements that are Basque. Language, music. You could not get Basque records, for instance. Here, in many ways, we had greater freedom to be Basque here than they did in Spain. The whole issue of being Basque is, and John Beter says this as well, he says, it's a miracle that the Basques have existed, is that they have survived.
Right.
Because there have been significant pressures, both political, but also cultural, to water down and suppress Basque culture. The key here is the language. And the language is the unique property of being Basque. It's the single Indo-European language that has no ancestral connection with any other language. So losing the language would probably mean the elimination of being mm-hmm. the identity of being Basque.
And when we look at that Basque community in France, because there was not that repression that happened because of Franco, there isn't as strong of a link to the Basque community, correct?
Part of that has to go back as far as the French Revolution, because the French Revolution, first of all, said everybody's the same. There was, you know, at the time of the French Revolution, only about 45% of people living in France spoke French.
Really?
Yes. Oh. And so they had a series of dialects and so on. But the whole system of liberty, equality, became uniformity as well.
Mm.
And so you have this kind of effort on the part of the French government going back into the late 1700s to eliminate all elements, and it was all Vive la France, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the Basques in the French country were not suppressed so much as they were folded into a department.
They just became more of that identity.
Yes, they became, and politically they were gerrymandered out of being Basque, and they were put into other departments so they could not maintain that identity in the same way. It's still spoken in the French Basque side, but the idea of being a separate nation for mm-hmm. France is much less than it is in Spain side.
And when we get back to what you said about the Basque language being Indo-European, and a lot of people assume it's Spanish. It's not.
No.
There's not a link.
Or French.
Right.
It's not a Romance language. It has significant unique properties. You know, I had a grandmother that would tell me all the time, David, Adam and Eve were speaking Basque in the Garden of Eden. And I said,
Grandma.
Yeah, go for that. But that was the story. That was the legend. But we do believe that, we do know that the language predates almost any other language on the European continent.
I want to thank you for coming in today. Great to just have a little bit of an education about the Basque community and the culture, especially here in Idaho. Our guest today, Dave Lacciando, thank you so much.
Thank you, Gemma. It's been a real pleasure.
And that was my interview with Dr. David Lacciando that aired originally in May of 2019. Dr. Lacciando passed away on Friday. I cannot imagine what High Aldi next year will look like in honor of this Basque icon. Well, thank you for joining us. We will see you all back here tomorrow.